Our lesson this morning comes from Psalm 16. Hear God's word. Keep me safe, O God. I've run for dear life to you. I say to God, be my Lord. Without you, nothing makes sense. And these God-chosen lives all around, what splendid friends they make. Don't just go shopping for a god. Gods are not for sale. I swear I'll never treat god names like brand names. My choice is you, God, first and only. And now I find I'm your choice. You set me up with a house and yard, and then you made me your heir. The wise counsel God gives when I'm awake is confirmed by my sleeping heart. Day and night, I'll stick with God. I've got a good thing going, and I'm not letting go. I'm happy from the inside out and from the outside in. I'm firmly formed. You canceled my ticket to hell. That's not my destination. Now you've got my feet on the life path, all radiant from the shining of your face. Ever since you took my hand, I'm on the right way. May God give us understanding of his holy word, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Earlier this morning, we've been talking about the chaos and the destruction that's been striking everywhere, most recently with the tornadoes down south, second worst in history. Looking around and seeing homes and churches turned upside down. And it's all in very distinct contrast to some of the ways that Easter has been lifted up, according to an article that I read. A pastor was listening to some of the various sermons that were preached around the country. A proclamation of abundance, and that if you just use that resurrection strength, your life is going to be perfect from now on. The pastor in the article raised some very interesting questions. He said, well, if that's the case, how is it that all of the early disciples who chose to give up everything and follow Jesus and who went on strongly and are the very source of our church, how is it that every single one of them went through enormous difficulties? And how is it that so many people of strong faith still go through such serious difficulties? And he made the very good point that those difficulties can actually offer us turning points. And they can make all the difference in how we live our lives. And the joy we can find even in the midst of devastation and destruction. And so this morning, I want to share three stories, three examples of that. Fred Craddock tells about how he was vacationing with his wife one year up in the Smoky Mountains. And as he and his wife are sitting at the table having dinner, there's a gentleman that comes and sits with them and starts up a conversation. And he asks Fred, you know, what he does. And Fred says, oh, well, I'm a preacher. And he says, well, let me tell you a story. He said, years ago, as a kid, I was growing up in this area. And my mom wasn't married. She was an unwed mom. And I was born in a state of ill repute. And I felt nothing but shame. But one day I snuck into this church and I started attending this church and just listening. And I would only stay there for the sermon. I would be in and then I'd scoot back out again. But this one Sunday, I got stuck. I was in the pew and these other people crowded me in, so I couldn't get out the way I wanted. And I started to panic. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And this pastor comes up to me and he says, "Son, what's your name?" And I tell him my name, and he says, "You look like someone." And he was feeling real nervous about that. I look like someone. He was afraid he was going to say that maybe he looked like someone who maybe was his dad. "You look like someone. I know. You look like God. You're a child of God, and I see the strong resemblance." All of a sudden, the shame melted away in that boy, and he had a new identity. And as he left that place, he was a very different person. And that adversity that he'd gone through gave him a compassion for others. And the hope the preacher gave him led him to go on and become twice the governor down in Tennessee. Adversity didn't hold him back. He hit a turning point in his life that changed everything. And what changed was that God was there at that crossroads. Tell you another story. It's a young girl whose father was a columnist in the LA Times. And here's a girl who'd lived a good life. She was 16 years old. She just graduated modeling school. She was gorgeous. She was smart. She had the whole future ahead of her. And then her parents got a phone call that nobody wants to get. A call from a hospital. Her daughter was there. "You better get down." And they came and they found that she had been riding on a motorcycle. And she was thrown off when the motorcycle collided with the car. She hit a brick wall. And she was, needless to say, in very bad shape. What followed was a wide number of surgeries, endless physical therapy, all kinds of work to try to sort through what had happened and try to get her back on her feet. They still weren't sure, but she got so she could crawl, and at the very least, she reached a point where she could walk with a walker. And the parents shared that they found this little note, a little note that no one was supposed to see except God. She'd written it and stuck it in her Bible. And how it was found was that a nosy teenage sister had come across it and brought it to the parents and said, "I think you want to see this." And that note, it was written on bright yellow stationery. It said, "Dear God, give me faith to be strong and to heal my body. Please make me a better person to be around. Dear Lord Jesus, please hold me." Was signed Love Kirby. That was her name. And her father said, "I know who is holding Kirby. And Kirby knows it too." Adversity, difficulty, challenges met with faith. Now, I don't know what became of Kirby. That was written back in 1985. But whether she regained full use of her legs or not is not the issue. She faced a turning point, and God was at the crossroads, and he was there to lift her up and to hold her. Our third story is about someone you may have heard about. The brilliant, sophisticated Englishman, which is appropriate this weekend as we continue to celebrate the royal wedding, Malcolm Muggeridge. Now, here's a guy who many of you have heard of. He began his career as a university lecturer. He moved into journalism. He traveled. There was excitement. There was fame. He became the head of the University of Edinburgh. He discovered all the good stuff in life, fame and fortune. It was all there. But gradually, he began to find that all the success had very little meaning to him. He couldn't quite figure out why, but he had this feeling that God had been making efforts to break through and reach him, and that somehow he'd been ignoring them. And so he became very sad and very remorseful. He said, "Somehow I missed you, God. You called me, and I didn't answer. Oh, those empty years." And the title of his autobiography is called Chronicles of Wasted Time. Can you believe it? The man who had everything, and he looked back on those years as being wasted time. And then later on, he was in Palestine. He was filming the story of Jesus for the BBC. And as he visited those Easter locations, he felt the presence of God. And he opened himself up to God. And God entered his heart and his life. Another turning point. Another turning point where someone felt emptiness, and where a situation that we would hardly consider devastation or destruction was still destroying him. A turning point. And God met him at the crossroads. My friends, we too hit different turning points. And those turning points are different for each of us. For some of us, it may be an illness, a disease. For some, it may be a loss. It can be a death in the family. It can be just even a sense that things aren't right. But each one, each of those times in our life are opportunities. And we literally face those crossroads. And we can choose that wide road where everyone's going, or we can choose the narrow road that God calls us to. From time to time, I've shared with you how God has touched me through dreams. And many, many years ago, before I had any idea of where God might be leading me, I had a very vivid dream one night. I was living down in LA, and I loved the beach, I loved the coastline, and there were all these beautiful cliffs in different areas. And in my dream, I saw one of those beautiful cliffs going over into the ocean. And in the dream, I saw this long line of sheep all headed to the cliff and all going over the cliff into the rocks, into the ocean, one by one. And I felt this enormous grief for them. Wasn't there some way to stop them? Wasn't there some way to let them know that that path only led to destruction? That dream has followed me my whole life. And part of why I'm in ministry, and part of why I'm here each Sunday morning, I don't want to see any more sheep go over that cliff. I don't want to see even one more person hit death and destruction. I want them to come to that turning point and see God in that crossroads. And I want them to know his strength and his love. You may be wondering in your own life what difference you can make. Often we think that, well, what can I do, as we look around at the world? But God has chosen you not just to live a life of your own choosing or to somehow get through the life you're living, but he's chosen each of us for a purpose. And you may never know exactly what that purpose is. But here's something interesting to think about. There is at least one very useful and important task in this world which will not get done unless you do it. There is some face on which there will be no smile of joy without you putting it there. There will be someone with a breaking heart who will never have the courage or the hope to try again without your help. There's some honest and righteous and good cause which needs the additional support and help that you can give. There's some soul that is in pain, who won't get through the day unless you pass on that simple word of encouragement. Every day, you're in a crossroads. Every day, there is a turning point in the choices you make. Some of those turning points will seem simple. Others will seem massive. But my prayer is that as you hit that turning point, you too will see God in the crossroads. And even as He has chosen you, that you'll choose Him. Let us pray. Almighty God, that pastor was right. You never promised that our lives would be easy. You did promise that you would be there every step of the way, bringing good out of all things for those who love you. We come to you, loving you, Lord, and claiming that promise in Jesus' name.